for this particular manner.
Correct.
Yeah, you got it.
And
your name?
Bree Gillespie? Yes, Bree Gillespie, also with RDEs.
Okay. So, Dr. Staff, what's your thoughts on this charge?
Well, I didn't see the police report, but the one that I have in front of me, I think it's adequate enough for me to, for me definitely, with the standard of care. Yeah.
Dr. Rubin?
Okay, I clearly understand what a standard of care is. I'm only going to say Dr. Cadillac, your mic is not on. I'm having difficulty with my IT ignorance locating the case, but I have it in my notes. And so these are my comments. On patient number two, there was a prescription for levothyroxine, 88 micrograms. The instructions in the charts were one tablet at least 1 hour prior to food and drink. Doesn't indicate how many times per day. This patient could be on 6 meals a day and take one tablet a day. So a correct prescription should mean that the doses, with the strength of the drug is at how many times per day and the new administration. So I didn't see that. So for me, that does not fall right to the level of standard of care. And then another thing is just to demonstrate in terms of prescriptions, which I think you really need to think about, because these are what we're telling patients to do. Now, this doesn't mean what was given to the patient. This is only what we see in the chart from another physician who may assume to care for the patient. So, in I believe this is patient one, there was instructions that said to drink about a half, it says drink about 1/2 gallon per day, but it wasn't indicated what they should drink. Of course, I'm assuming it's water. But it doesn't say that, and I think we have to tell our patients because they don't know. It also said drink dandelion tea. There was no indication of what part of dandelion. Was that the loop? Was that the leaf? And it didn't say how much. Now, that doesn't even tell this patient that. It just means that another doctor is seeing the care, and they said minimum requirements like that. And then it also said parsley is good for kidneys, but it wasn't indicating how much of the route of administration of the parsley. Is this petrosalam tea, or is this certainly? So I'm making these comments, and I'm thinking that this is really important stuff from the physician to physician, especially if this patient somehow was referred to me or something. I always have those questions too. You know, especially what stands out for me on those first few prescriptions for both that last one.
So maybe he could have an opportunity to respond if he chooses.
He's that patient number two. He's the initial suspect patient.
I'm looking. I'm having trouble locating.
You see, I can find that problem.
It may be KS.
KS. I could be looking at the look. But I obviously was looking at everything when I went through this.
Oh. you're right, that should be indicated one time a day. I assume that, you're right, the dosage, I mean, there's nothing really I can say about that. I assume that that's what the patient would do, and I shouldn't assume that,
Dr. Staff?
I'm sorry?
They weren't random.
Yes.
They were random.
Mm-hmm.
I do have one more comment too along these lines. On patient three, there was a diagnosis given with adrenal insufficiency. This is a big diagnosis, and I think it was based on not optimal salivary cortisol levels.
Mm-hmm.
So I think in terms of the diagnostic, adrenal insufficiency might be, immediately brought to an analysis that you had to look at the cause. So I think we need to be careful with our true ICD-10 diagnoses. But you did prescribe adrenal tincture for herbs. The ozone and fluid concentration suspension tends to nothing. Nothing is there. There's no possible way to remove every type of herbs. We don't know. And so, you just didn't.
Yeah.
I don't think there's an excuse for that. You're not charging for herbs. So, there you have it.
So every time I prescribe a formula that we're using in our clinic a lot, I should add on what's in it and what percent, what parts and everything.
Or you have to indicate the manufacturer and the label or something like that. Absolutely, or either macro, because a lot of clinics probably have adrenal tincture. Unless it's called adrenal tincture for herbs, which manufacturer better go back to LA or something like that.
It is a custom made pre-made formula that we ordered. And of course, the bottle has a label on it.
And that one, and that would be fair.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, it, you know, you might want to indicate, you know, custom formula for herbs. Okay. Fair enough.
I think what we're talking about here in the standard of care is, could someone look at this chart and assume care of this patient and have continuity of care? That's what we're, I think that's what Dr. Rubin is getting at.
Dr. Maravani, just to digress for one moment on the adrenal issue, would you have in the plan portion put or the assessment rule out Addison, et cetera, et cetera? In an ideal world,
right. I should have tried to do this other fatigue. That was the
And then in your plan, would you have put consider laboratory serologies and which ones if you may have wanted to?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
Okay. And you're doing this all via, what program are you using?
Using Charm.
Charm, okay. Mm-hmm. So if you could, you know, just your QD with, you know, once you're out, say PO by, you know, how you do it. Try to just dial that in a little bit. This is improved from what we saw, before, definitely. Just doing some fine tune-ups would be really helpful.
May I comment?
Yes.
You know, this whole process has really enhanced my patient care. When I see somebody now, I have what happened last time, and I can really go over it really well. It has really elevated my, me as being a doctor. And I, you know, in the long run, you know, I really appreciate this whole process. And you guys are suggesting that I take it to heart and I'll be implemented.
I believe you.
Yeah, and just always remember that if that chart, you know, may be as a referral to cardiology, because a lot of times I'll get an IE if they want my chart now to figure out where I'm coming from and then schedule a patient appropriately. So if you kind of think through it that way, then you're going to get this dialed in even better. But, you know, this is an improvement, that's for sure.
Just don't have two
thoughts. Yeah. Any suggestions? That's
No, that's not an argument. I didn't see the previous one, so this one I think is appropriate for my plan. And like Dr. Rubin was saying, just fine tune on those. Yeah. Especially if you purchase anything from any company, just put down the plan. Mm-hmm. That would be helpful as well.
Dr. Rubin? Okay, so let's go up closure. I'm going to go ahead on this and I'll make a motion if you have just charging is sufficient to just improve health. Okay. And we need a formal roll count.
Second.
Okay. Second.
Dr. Rubin?
I'm going to stay. I'm not qualified to go.
This is for Dr. Scott.
Second.
Yourself.
He did, but that's fine.
Yes. Dr.
Sadler. Aye.
Ms. Tibbetts.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Keep up the charging, please. Thank you. Okay, let's digress here for a second. We're going to go into number six, and I'll formally recuse myself on the Okay, so let's go back into six real quick. You know, I try to follow through this and put that through the next one. So I'm 6A, so I recuse myself for my license too.
Make a motion that we approve Dr. Sabbath.
Okay.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And let's go ahead and get Dr. Rubin 6D.
I'm going to refuse for 6D.
I'll make the motion that we accept Dr. Rubin's application.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. We got seven done. Is Dr. Beasley here?
He's up. Yes, he's up.
This is going back about a year ago. This is
2 years.
2 years ago. This is 16-053. Thank you. And just asking, how do you have a chance?
Okay. Board members, this is a petition for early termination of probation. On January 10th, 2017, the consent agreement regarding case number 16-053 became effective. Pursuant to the agreement, Dr. Bisek's license was placed on probation for 3 years. However, the order does allow for a petition for early termination of the probation. Pursuant to the agreement, during the term of probation, Dr. Bisek has been restricted from certifying patients for medical marijuana. Dr. Bisek has provided proof of completion of the required continuing medical education pursuant to the agreement. He's also paid the civil penalty of $2,000 pursuant to the agreement and appears to be in full compliance with the agreement.
Dr. Bisek?
Yes. Yes, I know, just asking the board to please, you know, consider early termination per the consent agreement based on a couple of different factors. One, I've been in full compliance with the consent agreement. I've done the additional CMEs, paid the civil penalty, and have refrained from, you know, certifying any patients for medical marijuana. I also incurred no, you know, further infraction against my naturopathic license and maintain my license in good standing otherwise. And, you know, thirdly, and, you know, most importantly, that I learned from my mistakes. And I will not certify a patient unless they have medical records and or order the appropriate labs or imaging that is necessary, despite what anybody tries to tell me, because I understand that it's ultimately my responsibility and it's my license that's at stake. Secondly, I'll ensure that all medical documentation is legible. And, you know, this is, you know, easily completed nowadays just by using the electronic medical record system. And I have made changes to the way I document, meaning that, you know, I no longer will pre-document anybody's, you know, respiration rate, which was part of the initial consent agreement.
Did you change your consent forms at all? Is that necessary?
To be 100% honest with you, I've actually gone to nursing school in over the last 2 years.
But sorry, did you change your consent forms?
I don't see any patients currently.
Oh, no, I mean for the medical marijuana certification. Or the, you're asking to go back into medical marijuana certification.
I'm asking that the restriction be uplifted.
So you talked about how you're going to change your training, etc. And of course, I wasn't here for the initial issue.
Right, correct.
But do you plan on having consent forms for if this is lifted?
Oh, absolutely.
Are they the same as they were a while ago?
Well, when I was prior, I was using the consent forms that were provided by a company, but I realize and understand that I should be the one drawing those up so I know exactly what they say.
Yeah, sure, the lawyer should.
Okay, well, correct.
So, my next question is going to be, yeah, have you had your consent forms left by your own personal or professional attorney?
No, I have not.
Okay. Can I ask about your practice the last 2 years? What have you been doing?
So, briefly after I left Doctor Referrals, which is the medical marijuana certification place, I worked for Vitality Med Spa in Mesa for roughly 2 to 3 months before attending a master's level nursing program at the University of Arizona, which I graduated in August of this past year. It's pending, yes.
Refresh my memory, did you have a nursing license No.
Okay.
All right. And from this point on with medical cannabis, you're pretty familiar with that system of how that works?
Yes, absolutely.
The PMPs, the physical exams.
Right.
And I was doing the physical exams on everybody, but, you know, the areas where I was falling short is one, you know, so, you know, my charting wasn't legible, and I was pre-documenting a patient's respiration rate, and also I was not obtaining, you know, the prior medical records or reviewing the medical records and or ordering the appropriate labs or imaging. Despite I was being told that that wasn't necessary, which I honestly is.
You going to go back into referrals or that type of environment again?
No, absolutely not.
Can I ask what your plans are?
So for right now, I would like to get started with my nursing career. If there's an opportunity where I could make, you know, some additional revenue certifying people for medical marijuana, I would like to have that option available. Because with nursing, to be considered full-time, you just have to work 3 12-hour shifts per week. So it does offer, you know, a chance to have a, you know, additional employment on the side.
I'm going to give you some advice, which you may already know, but make sure you have very clear distinctions between your nursing and your medical.
Yes, absolutely. And that was kind of one of the big things going through nursing school that my professors were kind of breaking me of, is to get more into the nursing role and stepping out of the provider role. Thank you, though.
And are you finished up that program?
Yes. Okay. Yes, I graduated in August.
Okay.
Yep.
And have you, are you taking your pass?
Yep, and collect, yep, pass.
Okay.
Everything. Yep.
Okay. And you got your RN license?
It's pending.
It's pending, yes. I would make the motion that Scott, do you have anything?
No.
I'll make the motion that we go ahead and with the consent agreement that we allow early termination.
I'll second that.
And Ms. Anthony will do a roll call.
So no effective today?
Yeah, we'll make effective today.
Dr. Rubin?
Aye.
Dr. Spatt?
Aye.
Ms. Gallin?
Aye.
Dr. Saldick?
Aye.
Ms. Tibbetts?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much.
All right. Dr. Rubin, you need to leave at 3:10, right? Okay. So let's go ahead and once you need to go ahead for that. So let's go ahead and power through number 9. We got 5. So we're going to start off with the first one, which is Jennifer Tennyson. Is she here? So Jennifer. Ms. Andy, can you give us a review?
Board members, this is application for clinical training. Ms. Tennyson indicated an affirmative answer on her application and submitted the required written supplement. Source documents confirm an incident on 10-19 of 2001 involving possession of liquor as a minor and an incident on 8-5 of 2012 for DUI. She was sentenced to pay a fine for the 2001 incident and sentenced to 10 days in jail and a fine for the 2012 incident. Source documents do not indicate the exact amount of the fines. Records from the Nursing Board website confirm that she does hold an encumbered RN license.
Did you hear from her at all? No. I would like to visit with her. So, yeah, what can table if she's available? But I'll need some other motion.
Do you need a motion to table?
We need to second.
Okay.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay, we'll visit with her next. I'm going to have a seat. Let's move on then to our next case, which would be, is Lauren here?
Yes.
Ms. Charles indicated affirmative answers on her application and submitted the required written supplement. Search documents confirm one incident on 12-16 of 2014 for DUI. Source documents indicate she was sentenced to 45 days in jail and a fine. Source documents do not indicate the exact amount of fine. Additionally, the board has in its possession a copy of an order of denial issued by the applicant, issued to the applicant by the State of Arizona Nursing Board. The order was downloaded from the Nursing Board website.
Ms. Thorson, feedback was?
The December 16th DUI incident was immediately following my completion of the Certified Nursing Assistant Training Program. I had applied for my licensure to be issued by the State Board of Nursing to obtain a license to work as a certified nursing assistant. At the time, I thought that my first pass would be that of RN, MT, and so forth. Before the board had issued me a license to become a licensed CNA, I did receive the DUI, and I was asked to appear in front of them to answer their questions and concerns related to the DUI incident. I was not financially able to cover the reparations that they were asking me to undergo, and subsequently did not complete them, which resulted in the denial of my CNA licensure application. And since then, I have fully completed everything that the State of Arizona has required me to do in order to acknowledge and make reparations for my DUI. And I understand now that the purpose of D4 is to issue public statements. Being entrenched within the depths of the DUI, I really did not understand the purpose for them requiring me to undergo these requirements, and so I didn't understand the gravity of my decision based on financials to not complete what was requested of me. And I believe that I've not only learned from that, but I'm grateful to understand that boards like yourselves do exist, especially with my acceptance into Southwest College of Naturopathic Medicine, and I ask that I'm able to continue my learning experience and be a safe practitioner in the future.
Why did you change your career path?
After I finished my undergraduate degree, I had a lot of internal struggle with what faculty of medicine I wanted to enter, and I've always struggled with the pharmaceutical-driven involvement of insurance companies in getting in patient care. And furthermore, I feel that naturopathic medicine is much more in line with the way that I've always known how to take care of myself and understanding the importance of being able to impart knowledge and have the time available to do that and to be affecting relationships between patient and practitioner. And it just makes much more sense to me, and I believe that it's a much safer way to practice medicine and public health.
At the time of your DUI, it looks like your license was suspended. Why was it suspended?
My driver's license was not suspended at the time. Yes. It was the initial arrest and filing of charges was modified.
And then was the felony charge dropped?
Yes, because the felony upon initial arrest was because of the assumption that my California driver's license was suspended at the time. When charges were filed, it was filed as a misdemeanor. I don't know what communication issues had occurred between California and Arizona. My only assumption that my lawyer provided to me was that it was because there was an out-of-state driver's license involved. I am not entirely sure, but the assumption that my driver's license was suspended was the reason why it was initially a felony and not a misdemeanor.
Have you ever had a DUI in California?
No. I've never been to California. I left California in the 17th year, but it's the first time I've been living in
Arizona. Do you have still have any issues with alcohol?
No.
And did you serve the 45 days?
I did not spend 5 days in jail, no. Initially when I was arrested, because I had no fear in front of a judge to be released, the time frame that I was there had qualified for 2 days. And because of my plea agreement, I was able to qualify for 15 days because it was a first offense, of which the judge decided that 2 additional days would be served in jail, and I served 11 days of home detention with alcohol monitoring throughout the duration of my home detention. So I served a total of 15 actual days.
But at this current point, you have no problem with it.
Correct.
Do you have a new policy, a lifestyle policy that you drink? Do you get behind the wheel?
I absolutely never even have one beverage and get behind the wheel. It's not an option.
An alcoholic beverage?
Correct. I do not consume even one alcoholic beverage with any intent to get behind the wheel of a new vehicle. Absolutely not. No. There's Lyft and Uber and many more resources that I understand are much more valuable.
Would you be willing to pay a drug test evaluation if you were asked by the board?
If I was asked to, I absolutely would be able to, and I could also contact my clinical services coordinator from school. I had already completed a drug test within the last 6 weeks as part of my quarter one clinical training class requirements, so I'd be more than happy to contact Dr. Dusty Sowers and have them forward any information on to you. I've taken the drug test that recently.
Was you ordered by the judge to talk into detention at all?
Yes. In addition to my jail time served, I also underwent a 36-hour supervised alcohol training course, a traffic school course, as well as 18 months of an ignition interlock device, in addition to having my license subsequently suspended. I believe it was for 90 days. I cannot be positive about that suspension time frame. But yes, I did complete all those requirements and actually paid all of my clients to the state in full at this point in time.
Would you feel comfortable having that last session done by the school?
How are the results of that?
I haven't heard any follow-up communication from my clinical services coordinator, so I'm assuming that the results were favorable, but I would be more than happy to have them send you the full report.
Did you know that test is going to take place? They always do it. It's not a random test.
I was told that I need to complete a urinalysis drug test by November 30th, and that when I go to the clinical services coordinator, he gives me the paper for that order, and I have 1 week to attend if he issues me the paper to go and take the test.
No problem. Thank you.
Do you know exactly what metabolites they were looking for?
I do not know off the top of my head, but I would be able to find out for you.
Okay. Well, you want to just take a
sample test? Yeah, I almost... I don't know if an evaluation or something is really necessary. It has been a decent amount of time since then, and it's not that she's learned a lot, really. It's introspective, but something like, I don't know, the problem with the test is that we're not saying to her, she did have a drink. She's allowed, legally to have a drink. My concern is just not over the top. And I don't know that a test is
I think she's very well spoken. I think she's convinced me that she's not going to get behind the wheel and drive, and I'm assuming you're not going to see a patient after having
Okay, so let's make a motion to approve her for clinical certificate. Okay. Each second.
Dr. Rubin?
Yes.
Dr. Spatz? Ms. Gallen? Dr. Sato?
Aye.
Ms. Tibbetts?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay, moving right along, next patient, next patient, General Lee Mahoney. General Lee here?
Yes.
And board members, this is an application for clinical training. Ms. Mahoney indicated an affirmative answer on her application and submitted the required written supplement. Source documents confirm an incident on 12-10 of 2010 and an incident on 3/29 of 2014, both involved DUI offense. The 2014 the 2014 incident indicates a third conviction in 10 years, the first being refusal to submit to a test. She was sentenced to 5 days in jail, a fine of $1,229, and 12 months probation for the 2010 incident. In the 2014 incident, she was sentenced to 90 days in jail, 12 months probation, and a fine of $1,750.
Yes, sir. Can you give us an explanation?
Sure. So during that, well, I guess I'll just kind of start from the beginning. I first went to the Air Force Academy out of high school, and then I decided to go to a traditional college. And I was having some intestinal issues at the time, which eventually brought me to naturopathic medicine. However, I did entertain the social life that is often seen at traditional colleges, and I started drinking regularly. That led to a few DUIs that I obtained, and after that, I decided that I was going to go to treatment, and since then, I have been actively involved in AA, and I also have 5 years of sobriety coming up in April. Alcohol has no part in my life whatsoever. I do not drink. I don't think about drinking. I have outstanding GPAs in both my pre-med schooling and in my master's degree. I've proven myself, I think, beyond any point that you might ask somebody to do for themselves in my position. I've taken all the necessary steps. I even get to go back to the treatment center that I went to, and I get a chance to speak to people about alcoholism and all the damage it can really do to your life.
Board members, comments, questions?
So what year are you in the FNM at the moment?
I'm first year, second quarter.
Did you do the 90 days in jail, or did you have that deferred?
Yeah, it got deferred to 5 days.
Okay.
But I did have an interlock system in my car for 3 years.
Yeah, let me draw back there a little bit. Are you still going to support group meetings?
Yeah, I do, and I actively talk to Mickey is my counselor at Mickey and Kathy. I have two there, and I'm in contact with them at least once a month.
My only concern is that it was your third, you know, conviction.
Right.
And that you're receiving and you're going to whatever therapeutic they have told you you're being taken by the state. Was this here in Arizona?
These were all in Kansas.
Kansas, okay.
Where I'm from. And I've talked to my lawyer about, I put in my letter to you guys about expungement of the third. And because of my activity since the last one and all the steps that I've taken toward bettering myself and my career, and me as an individual, he has suggested that expungement will probably most likely go through. Doesn't erase what has happened, doesn't erase any of the lessons that I've learned from it, but it does possibly help put these events behind me.
Do you want to be in a traumatic oncologist?
I do. Yes, definitely. That would be my dream job. I look forward to hopefully shadowing you. You're very interesting.
Pleasure, Spence.
I'm in.
Okay. go ahead. We were chatting. Would you mind doing a random urine?
I would love to.
Okay.
Or would you undergo an evaluation?
Anytime. I would love to talk to you about alcoholism in general. It's not given enough attention. It gets me emotional. So anytime, yes, for sure.
So let's carve out a quick motion here then. I'll make a motion that within the next 6 months that you do just a random urine. My major metabolite concern about is that, you know, the alcohol, the EPOH, because you will be under stress, and I just hate to have, you know, an issue happen.
Yes, and I just want to speak to that just a little bit. During the time that I was actively drinking, I had lost my path. I didn't really have a future in mind of what I wanted to do. I had completely lost that coming out of the Air Force Academy. It was lost, I'll reiterate. And what I needed was to have that structure, to have that drive back again, because when I have that, I'm completely a type A personality. I get straight A's, you know, I maintain high standards. So going to med school, that keeps me sober. It's obviously stressful. It's stressful for everybody. But having the to-do list that we do, and I'm laughing because I always put a to-do list together for our class. But having that structure in my life, that keeps me sober, because I am becoming exactly who I want to be, and the lack of that, that's what drove me to drinking. I wasn't who I wanted to be. It was depressing. So I drank, which further leads to depression.
I don't know how everybody else feels. I mean, I could go either way. I'm kind of torn between sending her for an evaluation because it's an ongoing thing that isn't that long ago. I'm not sure to make that.
I don't know.
Well, then also there's an ongoing problem. Something we should be concerned about in the future going forward. I don't necessarily, I could be continuing students otherwise.
You'd be comfortable for random?
Yeah, I'm not against that either. I don't know that that's going to
solve your concern.
Yeah, I don't know. It'll tell us that she's not drinking, which I believe that she's not right now.
Right.
My concern is more in the future about kind of a relapse or something like that.
I think it shows responsibility on the board if we do that and that we're taking the extra step. I am convinced by her writing here what she said that all good. So I'm fine. This makes the board feel more better, more responsible, than I think it's a good call. I don't think it was too much time, I don't think it's too much expense, and it won't be too much trouble, and then they can check that box.
Okay. And I would be more than happy to submit to any type of evaluation or testing.
So are you talking about maybe moving to accept the application with the contingency that this gets achieved in 6 months?
I'm fine with going with Ms. Skelton's thought process. You know, there's two ways to do it. There's three ways, but one would be eval, second would be random, but go ahead and accept your clinical application, and third would be to do nothing. My only concern, since it was three times, that we should at least do something.
What was the last time you were subjected to a test?
I'm under the same stipulation during our quarter one. I don't think that tested for alcohol. I think it was just drugs. So as far as an alcohol test, that would have been during my probationary period, which has been several years ago.
Right. I think it's a great suggestion. I'm convinced. I make a motion that we accept the clinical training certificate application based on the contingency that you submit for a random test that we call for, that's the end of the contingency. And if it's such a kind, if she's found to be positive, then we'd like to bring her back here.
Can we put in a letter from children as well?
And we need
not license. Oh, I
so it's just for a random urine analysis test, just one test?
Unless it's a modified motion. But correct.
One test
within the next 2 months.
Okay. That's random. Okay. And so you're doing it through a consent agreement.
And I'd like to add that would be through a consent
agreement. It would be through a consent agreement, and the board staff would reach out to her, and then she would have a certain period of time to take that test.
Thank you. So I move with that modification.
I agree with that.
And for clarification, then you have accepted her application.
I'm going to say one thing now.
Okay.
Yeah,
that
would be
very good clarification. Well, we have a motion. Can the motion be withdrawn if we discuss it before?
Yeah, you can always withdraw your motion.
So you're saying that if there are motions on the table, which that would be compiled to the record?
Yeah, if we think it's necessary, then I think it's important, then it should be matter. I'm just not sure. Mm-hmm.
But as Ms. Cobb said, it would be entered in as part of the record, correct?
Yeah, it's a public record.
Public record.
Well, if you go that route, you have to do something. Because you could approve your application, you know, deny it, or enter into a consent agreement.
I mean, the public record already has the all your alcohol, you know, if you can. So I think it's probably most simplistic to do, as Dr. Rubin suggested, to do your, within 2 months, he suggested, to be up to the consent agreement, and then go ahead and approve you for clinical training. I believe that was your
question. Yes, to repeat it, the motion was to approve the clinical training certificate today, which contingency that she would be subjected to a random alcohol screening within the next 2 months. Through a consent agreement issued by the board.
Would you want it to be a urine test or a hair
fall? I would want that to be the test that was being suggested.
You're a doctor. Do you have a...
I don't know.
I think the hair falls will come for a long period of time.
Although this motion is sounding a little messy.
So do you want to make Dr. Rubin her approval of the application for clinical training approved upon the execution of the consent agreement for practice limitation, which includes the assessment of one random hair test or urine test to be taken within 2 months of execution of the consent agreement? Because she has to sign it, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Should we go into executive session for legal advice?
Sure.
Would that be helpful?
I'm going to withdraw my motion.
Okay.
Motion's withdrawn. I have to leave. You guys need to take
a break.
We've got 1 minute, we have to leave. Let's go ahead, as Ms. Collins suggested, we're going to go into executive session for legal advice. So ladies, don't forget, and everyone clear your stuff, and we'll call you back on it, and Dr. Rubin, let it be known to you.